tell you about Windman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
All right, bros. E3 2018 just wrapped up, and actually pretty fucking good. Like, generally, there was a good mix of bad conferences, absolutely terrible conferences, and then really, really good ones. There was no hashtag Girlwood. Unfortunately, there was a lot of, hey guys, what's up gamers? Yeah, we're playing this game together. Hey, you flank left, I'll go right. Which is how us game bros actually speak.
See you on the other side.
Oh, fuck. So there's a lot to cover, actually. A lot of things were announced, a lot of really, really big titles. So I guess we will start with the first conference, which was Electronic Arts. So EA did not announce Skate 3. Microsoft showed off a skating game that everyone thought was Skate, but actually wasn't. It was some bullshit no one cared about. But what EA did announce is Unravel 2. You played Unravel, right? You remember that game existed.
I remember the guy who made it being really, really, really nervous when he walked up on stage to his conference.
I remember he was doing the Miyamoto thing. When they announced Pikmin 3, he walked out on stage with a Pikmin in his pocket. And then for Unravel, he had like the main character made out of yarn. It's a pretty good goof. They also showed off Sea of Solitude, which is one of those... Every year, EA always does an artsy-fartsy game. Last year, it was A Way Out. And this year, it was Sea of Solitude, where you play as, like, a fly girl or something. You play as, like, the shadowy German girl, and you're, like, going around exploring. It seems pretty cool. I'll play it. Command & Conquer?
Oh, boy.
I am glad I did not care for that franchise. That is the Carcat Vantus of video games. I am very happy I did not care about that game series. Because there was a mobile game for it that... It looks like an okay mobile game, I guess, but... Yikes. And then, of course, Battlefield 5, which has a Battle Royale mode because they're just fucking trend chasing.
I mean, it's clearly working. Would you rather they have a Battle Royale mode or a MOBA mode?
Battle Royale is less annoying than a MOBA mode, I think. There's another thing, and I don't know if this is a new thing or not, but there's an online subscription that they have where you can pay $15 a month or $100 a year, which that's not too unreasonable. That's Amazon Prime. You're able to get like The Sims 4 and then Anthem, which is like their version of Destiny, I guess. It was kind of weird. Anthem looked like something that I would be interested in if I was like, you know, 15. And I don't mean that in like a bad way, but like I'm too... What's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot of games that come out, like The Division, which I'll get into a bit later, where you have to have, like, where we're dropping boys. You gotta have a squad.
They also have a lot of time invested into it.
Yeah, like, if I'm gonna play one of these games, I can't play a different one. Because I don't have the time. Or to be like, okay, I played this game for about 2 hours, I'm done for tonight, I'm gonna go read a book or something, or go outside.
Oh, I'm sure you do both of those things a lot.
I do half of those. Well, yeah, I mean, the subscription thing, that's not too bad. I mean, a lot of people who play EA games aren't, like, hardcore gamers. So, that's fine. Whatever. That's reasonable. After that was Microsoft, a.k.a. Alex. Ooh, hey-o, high five, boom.
What?
Microsoft. I'm saying you have a tiny penis.
Oh, huh. See, I was too much of a brainlet to have gotten a dick joke. I'm sorry.
They opened up with Halo 6 called Halo Infinite. Nothing else there. Now, Alex, what do you know about Halo? Because I thought this series, like, the main story ended with Halo 3 and then everything was kind of like a spin-off or whatever.
Well, I know that Halo used to be the top big dog on campus and now nobody gives a shit about it anymore.
I know there's Halo ODST, Orbital Dropship Team, I think.
I think it's Trooper.
Yeah, when that was like a pseudo RTS or something. They did no, show
it was
off.
Still, it was still a Halo game.
They showed off the one game that I knew Microsoft was going to show off, which was
Tab, before you go on, they had ODST was just a regular ass like Halo game. They had another Halo RTS game on the 360 though. It was called Halo Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would see that at like Family Video when I would go to rent.
That
games.
That was the prequel where they were like, you know, Master Chief's the last Spartan. That's where you had a bunch of Spartan units to use.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
but like I was saying, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. If you ever played Ori and the Blind Forest, play that. It looks beautiful. It plays fantastic. It is almost as good as Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight only beats it in that Hollow Knight's areas both looked really fantastic. So Ori and Hollow Knight, all the areas looked fantastic, but Hollow Knight has the deepest lore factor, while Ori really doesn't. Ori was just like, hey, here's a Metroidvania where you just have a million movement options, and the new one looks really fucking cool. I am definitely going to play that. They also showed off, and I somehow, I watched the conference, but I guess this just flew right past me, From Software's new game, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. It's a samurai game, and it looks like for the first time, as far as I know, in any fucking From Software Souls type game, you actually have like movement options that aren't rolling off of a ledge at a weird angle. You have a hookshot out of his like robot fishing lure bone arm thing. There's a few different weapons. I saw that the hat turns into a shield. You can have a katana or like a samurai axe.
Well, the way it works, Ted, is that he has his little robo arm, right? And he can have different robo arms. So, like, one robo arm is the shield, one is the axe, one is, like, a cannon, shit like that.
Oh, that's cool. See, somehow I completely missed this.
It's kind of like how in Bloodborne you can have the different types of guns, and you can also have, like, the shield. It's whatever your offhand equip is whatever, like, the robo arm is.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It looks actually pretty cool, actually. I'm looking forward to it, I suppose.
Yeah, there was, the From Software actually showed off two games this E3. Sekiro was shown off at the Microsoft, and then their other game was shown off at Sony's. The one shown at Sony, I'll talk about that one later, but that one I'm actually more interested in, even though I know less about it. Microsoft also showed off, they had a lot of games. Microsoft was like, boom, 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 boom. They threw out a lot. Captain Spirit, which is a free game that takes place in the Life is Strange universe, where it's like a kid with superpowers going through like his mom dying. So, I mean, it's free. You can't argue about that. It's free. It's worth it. Crackdown 3, which I think they announced last year. I never played the first two, but it seems pretty fun. Although it seems like it's kind of stepping on the toes of Saints Row. The third Saints Row, like you had like superpowers, and that seems to basically be what Crackdown 3 is. Sea of Thieves. So that's getting some support. It had a kind of a goofy trailer. There's a downloadable content pack, which adds a whole new island and a bunch of other stuff. I like the idea of Sea of Thieves a lot. A lot.
But
from what I understand, it's kind of shallow and there's really not that much going on.
It's just boring. That's it.
Jump Force was a game that was shown off. It's a Shonen Jump thing. It seems like a fun idea, but the graphics, I'll be honest, look like shit. They look like the graphics for this game look like a commercial you would see in 2005 for like Dragon Ball Z for like cereal, like a Dragon Ball Z commercial for cereal, where it's like a cool badass 3D fight scene, but everything kind of looks like shit, and it looks like a little bit off model. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I couldn't agree more.
And the gameplay, the bits they showed of it, like you would punch and then it would auto-home you into people, and it looks like it's not fun. It just looks like it is not fun. I'm not going to pay attention. Bros. Cuphead's getting some DLC that looks good, but it's going to trigger Alex because he doesn't like Cuphead because he's shit.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, Alex, you're just shit. You don't appreciate Cuphead for being a good game.
Hey man, I said my opinion of it. I beat that game so I can validate my own opinion.
Alex, I can't trust your opinion on video games because you still buy Overwatch loot boxes.
And I still play Overwatch though, so it's okay.
Okay, okay.
But I'm not happy about it.
There's a new Battletoads game. There weren't a lot of details on it. I don't really know what's going on with it.
They probably just settled the idea and have, like, a very few basic things done, so they can't show anything off yet that's interesting. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, maybe, possibly. If they at least showed what the fucking game would look like, they just showed the goddamn tongue. It's just a teaser.
Metro Exodus, they showed this. Now, I'm a little bit hesitant about this game. Now, Alex, both you and I really liked the first two Metro games. They're really cool, really well-done linear story first-person games. But I'm a little bit worried about how an open world can change that feeling. Because in the first two, when you go above the ground, it's very fucking dangerous. There's demons flying in the fucking sky. In the second one, there's giant praying mantises and all sorts of crazy shit all over.
No, I didn't play the second game. So do you still need the gas mask in the second game to be outside?
Yes, you do. And that's something that I'm really worried about with this one. So when you're above ground, so gas masks are very, very important. Your filters are something you have to be very careful with in the Metro games. In this one, it looks like you only need the gas mask on during rain. Because I was watching the trailer, and I noticed the only time they put down a gas mask, and it still has the mechanic of if you get hit, like, physically, when you have the gas mask on, it'll start to crack. Like, that's still in there. But it looks like you only need it when it's raining, or when there's some kind of environmental hazard. So, I'm a little worried that that's going to take out a lot of the, like...
Suspense, yeah.
When I was playing the second one, Metro 2033, or I forget what the second one was called. Last Light, I think? No.
Yes.
Something like that. I would go up to the surface, and, like, I would have to really, really fast loot. Because I couldn't sit there, because, one, there's a giant fucking praying mantis over there. Two, I have filters. I can't be up here. Three, like, it's spooky, okay? Like, I'm not supposed to be up here. I'm supposed to be down in the goddamn sewers. So, it looks good. It looks like it's still really good. I'm hoping it stays. I hope it pulls a Deadpool. Where Deadpool, the movie, had about a 78% chance of sucking really, really hard. But somehow it ended up being really good. So, be hopeful. Another thing Microsoft did is they acquired Ninja Theory and Compulsion Games, which is nice because I feel happy for those studios because they make We Happy Few and Devil May Cry, and it's much nicer to be acquired by Microsoft than EA. We Happy Few, I had a Watch Dogs 2 moment with this game. So Watch Dogs 2, when that was first shown off, I was watching the trailer for Ubisoft. I think it was last year or the year before, and I thought, oh, dude, this is awesome. You're like this weak, scrawny little shithead. And so the only way you could take these people out is by using drones and traps. And then he pulled out an AK-47. And so this game, I was watching the trailer. I'm like, oh, I remember this game. This is that early access bullshit survival crafting game that everyone thought was like a linear story game. Because what it is that like everything's gone to shit. Everyone's in like a super war-torn area of Britain. But they just keep popping joy pills that make everything look happy and stuff. So I thought, and a lot of people thought, that it was like a story-based game. And so I thought, oh, okay, because this game was in early access. It probably came out years ago. And this is them doing a pseudo-sequel where they take the concept and make it story. No, it's just leaving early access.
Don't worry about it.
Like, okay, I mean, that's wasted potential, I guess. Whatever. Then Devil May Cry 5... I don't have much of an opinion on this. It looks better than the reboot with Dante, aka your little brother, whose turn it is to play on the Xbox. Devil May Cry game, only one I ever played, was the first disc of Devil May Cry 2. So, I'm kind of an expert.
I've never played Devil May Cry, so I don't really give a shit.
And then the best announcement during Xbox was the Gears of War Funko Pop mobile game.
Why?
Because fuck it. You know, fuck you. Gears of War 5 also looks like total shit. But okay, the actual important thing, the only reason like this conference matters at all was it closed with CD Projekt Red's Cyberpunk 2077. They hacked the presentation, and during like the loading of the hacking, there's actually a bunch of codes going across the screen, and I'm pretty sure those are GOG codes. probably for like The Witcher 3 and shit. But they also hid a message in there. You can actually find it if you look for it on Twitch. I'm sure someone's taken a picture of it already. But there was red text that was just saying, like, hey guys, thanks for being with us. You know, we started making the game right after we finished Left 4 Dead, Witcher 3. And then we stopped, realized we wanted to work entirely on the DLC, put those out, and then we're like, hey, let's let everyone know. And then we decided we'll just wait until we have a really good slice of the game to show you after we've had some time, yada, yada, yada. Because CD Projekt Red doesn't have a company to answer to. They don't have to answer to EA or Microsoft or Ubisoft, no one like that who's trying to push the game out. They're like Valve. They're able to just push it out and do whatever they wanted. So they're, because this game's been being worked on for a very, very long time.
Yes, I know that much.
The trailer is really cool. A lot of people got murked that the trailer was during the day, saying Cyberpunk is always at night. And I do understand that. Cyberpunk as a whole is generally done at night. But if it looks this like awesome Cyberpunk during the day, it's going to look crazy good at night when it's raining on the fucking mean streets. I'm very excited for this game. I'm perfectly happy to wait until fucking 2022 if I need to. I'm 100% okay with waiting that long. Square Enix was after that. I missed their conference, but apparently it was only 30 minutes, and they didn't show anything. They didn't show off Final Fantasy VII. They didn't show off Kingdom Hearts. They didn't show off fucking Kingdom Hearts. That's like the big thing that they had there. That was shown at fucking Xbox and Sony's conference. They didn't show off the Avengers game they're working on. They didn't show off anything Guardians of the Galaxy. They showed off two things. Platinum's new game, Babylon's Fall, which is like a high fantasy-themed co-op game that sounds pretty cool, no gameplay. And then The Quiet Man, which again, no gameplay, no idea, I have no idea what it is. My theory, game theory, is that Square Enix had a conference, and then Microsoft and Sony are like, hey, we'll give you a few thousand dollars to play your trailers. And they're like, ah, yeah, fuck it, here you go. That's the only thing I could think of, that's the only reason. After that was Ubisoft. Beyond Good and Evil 2 cinematic trailer. The first game was pretty fun. Again, didn't show any fucking gameplay. But it did give you a bigger view of the world that the game's going to be in, so whatever. Skull and Bones. Alex, you remember that from last year? 2017, the pirate E3.
That's like the ship battle only thing, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's 100%... It's a pirate game. But unlike Sea of Thieves, where you're running around yo-ho-hoing and doing all sorts of stuff, this one's just ship combat, which I don't think this game has that much of a lifeline if it's just the ship combat.
It'll be fun for a little bit, probably, but not like a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you can go play fucking World of Warships. There we go. You can just go fucking play that. Like, who gives a shit? They did, however, show off For Honor. And they added a cool Chinese faction. Now, Alex, I don't actually know that much about For Honor. What was your experience with it? I think you mentioned it before, but I don't remember.
I have about 34 hours in it. I have not played since, like, the first, like, 3 months of the game being out. It's okay. That's pretty much, like, it all right. It's more or less a salt factory, and, as shown by every single little time they tried to make it esportsy by having little, like, tournaments, the game is not very esporty and not very competitive. It's just people trying to figure out the most bullshit way they could possibly win. Example, like, you're the big fat guy, right? The Shoguki or whatever the fuck he's called?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, he has, like, a running attack that if he does it, you literally cannot block it. So, like, the tournament was just two of the fat guys doing the running attack and, like, nothing else. The entire match was just doing the one. Imagine if you were watching Street Fighter on Disney Channel XD, and both Kens just kept DPing and doing literally nothing else. That's basically what For Honor is. It's not really about playing the game. It's just trying to, like, be as big of an asshole to your opponent as possible. And, like, the little story mode was okay. Like, it's serviceable. And then the actual game, like, with playing multiplayer or whatever, is, like, it's just all right. It's fun for a little while. And then, like, you just kind of get bored of it because it's just like, oh, okay, I don't actually have to play. I just need to play the assassin and be, like, as annoying as possible, and then you stop having fun because you're not playing for fun no more. Also, fuck all the goddamn cliffs. It's okay to have them sometimes, but there is nothing that pisses me off more than, like, in Soul Calibur or Virtua Fighter, is getting wrung out. Like, yeah, you really earned that one, didn't you, asshole?
I mean, Alex, they did. After all, you were in the corner with them.
But here's the thing, though. It's not just cliffs. There's also little spikes and hazards everywhere in every fucking map, and even the new ones. They just keep putting them everywhere just to fucking piss me off. But it's fun sometimes. I'm still not going to play it because I didn't play it when they made all the fucking boss characters in the story mode playable. I sure as hell ain't going to play it now.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny that they added a Chinese faction and then added a free-to-play option. Really makes you think, huh, Alex?
Really makes you think, don't it?
Like I said before, the Division 2, it's got a really cool and unique setting where it's in, like, it's in America, cities, Washington, D.C., and you gotta go in there and, like, liberate areas and do all your bullshit, but it's one of those games you need a bunch of people for. There's also Starlink, which is Voltron, but with, like, it looked interesting, and then they started showing off that you had a toy, and I was, but you could play a Star Fox with it, so,
yay,
whatever.
Great, my favorite, he's back, bros! He's back! As an amiibo, as an extra in another person's game! My favorite! But real shit, though, when I was watching the trailer for that, I did like that when the chick was like, what's going on? Like, the little communicator, it plays the little sound effects from the characters talking from the Super Nintendo game. I thought that was cute.
Then the last game that they showed was Sass in the Hood Odyssey, which... It doesn't really resemble Assassin's Creed anymore, and that's a good thing. Last Assassin's Creed that I played was, like, Assassin's Creed 2, or Sass in the Hood Brotherhood. Yeah, I call it Sass in the Hood because there was one goddamn image where they, like, it was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, but they just blocked out certain letters, and so Sass in the Hood has always stuck with me. It's, I didn't play the Egyptian one, but it seemed pretty good. This one, I might try it, like, if I find it, so I'm not gonna rush out and buy it, because I don't like yearly releases from Ubisoft. I don't like that. I do not like that cycle. But it's good enough, I guess. I mean, you can play as a man or a woman. There's no more, like, Assassin's Creed stuff at all. It's basically like, it looks kind of like that Jason and the Argonauts game, Alex.
Well, I thought that game was pretty alright, so maybe I'll give this one a shot. I actually wanted to play a couple of Assassin's Creed games. I wanted to play Black Flag. Black Flag, sorry, we're cutting that out. I really wanted to play Black Flag because pirates are fucking cool. I wanted to try out the Egyptian one because Egyptians are also super cool. I just, like, every time I think about it, I'm like, man, I really like that setting. I just remember, oh yeah, the gameplay is the exact fucking same, so why would I even bother? I've already played this game 3 times before, you know?
Slam.
Like, even Mirio fucking changes it up in between fucking releases. Every single game of Assassin's Creed, at least the first fucking 3 that I goddamn played,
it's
are
like
always
the first
you...
8. The first 8 are the same. The only ones that I know of that are different are the Egyptian one and the, and the Odyssey one. So,
like,
I mean,
you're running forward, holding right trigger, and A, you get that claw going on with your hands. So yeah, like one finger on the right trigger, another finger on fucking, like, A or whatever, and then you have your right stick to actually move the fucking camera. You're just running forward to your target, hitting X, and then running the fuck away. Because, like, what are you gonna do? Be stealthy? You could just parry everyone to fucking death. Who cares?
Yeah, just counter. It's fine. But yeah, that was Ubisoft. Bethesda was after them. So there's DLC stuff for Wolfenstein, Prey. There's VR stuff for... They said they're going to put VR into the rest of their games like they did Fallout and Doom. Doom is getting a sequel. I hope it's as surprisingly good as the 2016 Doom. Because, damn, no one expected Bethesda to actually put out a high-quality game. There's a new IP called Starfield. Starfield, stop eating all the space lasagna.
Starfield.
Skyrim 2 is happening. Probably not for a very long time.
Fuck off!
And Fallout 76. So Fallout 76 is fucking... It's a fucking thing, all right, Alex.
Yeah, dude, it's literally just like Borderlands, but Fallout.
Yeah, it's, so the first time it was described, I think it was shown off a few days before E3. They're like, oh, it's got four times the map size of Fallout 4, and yikes, that is not a good thing to say about your game. Because Fallout 4 was already pretty fucking sparse on content per size ratio. Like, there was not a lot of shit to do in Fallout for how big the world was.
The reason, though, is obviously because you're going to have four players in your fucking game, right? And everyone can put shit wherever they want. So they need a shitload of room to be able just to put anything anywhere.
Well, there's more than four players. They didn't give an exact amount, but they said there was a few dozen people that would be in each world. So, I'm not quite sure how that works, because if, like, what if I wanted to join into my friend's game at some random point, you know? Like, am I able to transfer stuff over, or do I have to join as a group and then do it? Is it like, Don't Starve Together? They didn't get into much of the specifics. It's more about base building, but it's, you could build a base anywhere. It's basically Fallout Rust or like DayZ, and also fucking God. Finally, they made improvements to the fucking shit engine to allow weather in more varied environments than gentle hills or unscalable mountain. There's finally more shit you can make in that fucking terrible. I don't think they've updated that engine since Fallout 3, Alex. I think Fallout 3 was made of fucking Oblivion's engine.
Don't worry about it.
The big thing about the game, though, besides the fact that it's multiplayer, is the nuke system. So you can find launch codes around the wasteland. I think there's five or six. And when you have them all, you can just fucking nuke an area of the map. And it just fucks. It gives it a real nasty haircut. It fucks its shit up. And then then to make people actually want to do it, there's super rare resources in there that you can only get if you suit up and go in there and survive the radiation. If you die in this game, though, it's not permadeath. Unlike Rust, you don't just die and lose all your shit. You keep your character, you keep your stuff, but I think you just reload back at your base or something. Once again, they didn't go too much into specifics. But what I want to know about the nuke is, so if there's always the threat of a nuke, why build a big base? Now, is there only those six codes, or do you just need six to open it? Because if there's only the six codes, then I have a reason to make a big, super strong base with a good amount of defense, because I could just hold on to the key, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, where do you launch these nuke codes at? Because whoever gets them first is just gonna hold up make a base in front of like the entrance to wherever like the launch facility is and hold the entire game like hostage.
Yeah, because like what are you gonna do? Because what is there to... Because there's no permadeath. So in Rust, there's permadeath, so you can't just ungle your way through someone's base. But in this one, there's not. So that makes me wonder if maybe the degradation of your gear against the turrets and defenses will offset that. But otherwise, like if you have the key, Alex, and I want the key, I will ungle my way past your fucking walls by hitting them with a stick until I get through. Because you're going to go to bed at some point, Alex. You're going to go to bed, and I'm still here.
I don't need sleep. I need those codes.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to get this game. Fallout 4 I only bought as a joke, haha, and I ran around with an int, charisma, and like something else. Like all non-combat abilities, but I just hit shit with a wooden plank anyway, because stats, lol, don't fucking matter. So I'll probably get this in November and check it out, and it should be pretty fun. I don't think this game will have any mod support, though. It also looks like Vats isn't in it, but again, we'll see all that crazy shit later.
One thing I want to say about this little conference, though, that I really liked was their little thing about porting Skyrim to your fucking Alexa, porting Skyrim to your Bieber, porting Skyrim to your fridge. Like that was funny. They understand that. Yeah, they ported a lot. It was.
We all know that you guys are here for one thing. Todd Howard! That guy was a fucking plant, Alex. Someone planted him in there. Never trust Todd, Master of Lies Howard.
He's such a meme at this point, Ted. I can't see him as anything other than just buy my game.
Just, I look at his face, and I don't believe that it's a human face. I just see, like, Todd Howard memes, Alex. Help me.
That's stupid. My favorite one is just the picture of him that's like, this face exudes so much power and energy. How can I resist?
So, second to last, the penultimate conference was Sony's. And they opened up with The Last of Us 2. Now, last year's cinematic trailer was the most fucking boring game advertisement I have ever seen in my entire life. It was poorly lit, dark, overacting, and trying to be cool, but I didn't know any of the characters, and I did not care at all, and it did not show a single shred of gameplay. All I saw was like an Asian kid go over with a hammer and hit someone. That's all that fucking happened. So this year, they did show gameplay, but it was after an extended trailer reminding everyone that Ellie is gay.
I fucking love that there's a picture showing the crowd's reaction. It's just like a bunch of like old people going like, ugh.
It's just like, well, it's
mild,
it's like
discomfort.
Yeah, it's mild, because who the fuck cares if Ellie is gay? What importance does this have on the story? Alex, did you ever play the first game, Last of Us Part 1 or whatever?
No, it was boring.
It's actually really good. There was a guy in there. Remember the gay mechanic guy from the first game? Remember how
Yes, because I played it. No, you dumbass,
Alex,
I don't.
That was a rhetorical question, you dumb fuck. Stop talking. Remember how integral his sexuality was to his section of the story? Oh, you don't? Huh. Weird. Almost like there was something actually important to the plot happening and his relationship took a back seat, like a traditional straight character would. Huh. Hmm. Like being gay wasn't his selling point, if you can imagine that. Huh. Golly. Gee. Hmm. Highlighting someone's sexuality doesn't make your game or story any more appealing beyond a surface level of being inclusive. Don't use homosexuality as a crutch or for getting those fucking journalist yous. Like, get the fuck out of here, Naughty Dog.
Also, if you want to show off a homosexual relationship, don't use lesbians because that's lazy because they're the most visually appealing gay there is.
Yeah, no one cares about lesbians. Even
big,
Blizzard knows
big
this.
Mood.
Like, who gives off? Like, by which I mean, like, No one's gonna throw a hissy fit over Tracer being gay, but Blizzard would not have the fucking coconuts to make Roadhog? Yeah, Roadhog and Junkrat gay or something. Like, they wouldn't have the gall to make two men gay, because that's gross and icky, and that doesn't sell.
But girls can still kiss, because that's perfectly fine. I can just, like, slot myself right in there, so it's okay.
Yeah, dude, it's still kinda hot.
Yeah, that's fucking... Ugh. But yeah, I'm not actually looking that forward to The Last of Us 2. This trailer did show some gameplay, but, like, there wasn't much more to it. So the first game had a really well-crafted story in a self-contained bubble. It followed Ellie and Joel as they went on this adventure, had a solid ending, boom, done. There's no real reason to continue on with Ellie. I mean, the story was pretty much told. There's not a lot left to do
things with. She's
gay.
That's important.
Yeah, but, like, you had this entire world, and instead of focusing on another section, they just follow Ellie, and it...
Well, the thing with that is that if they were to say, like, make new characters with the same title of The Last of Us, people are just going to say, well, where are our old characters that we already like?
Well, anyone who actually played the first game would be smart enough to realize that it's more of a story game. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too big brain, Wojak.
You have to have your main cast of characters all the time, or else people are going to dislike it. Look at Street Fighter 3. You played Street Fighter 2 and, like, all the variations and releases of that for, like, 10 years. So then when, like, Street Fighter 3 came out and had, like, a bunch of new characters everywhere except for Ryu, he was still back, everyone hated it. Cause it's like, where's Dalzim? Where's Balrog? Where's E. Honda?
But yeah, I mean... I'm still tentatively excited for the game, but I'm not going to run out and buy it on day one unless the gameplay looks like it's evolved to more... Because the set pieces they showed weren't as interesting as the first game. Like, the first game, one of my favorite moments was really early on, where you're going through a building that's flooded and, like, on its side. And then just that setup lets you do a bunch of really cool stuff. So, we'll see. Sony also showed off the Ghost of Tsushima, which is an open world samurai game that looks like Witcher 3, and it's pretty fucking Kino. Neo 2 as well. This year's E3 was just samurai. You had like three or four fucking samurai games.
That's totally okay.
I mean, that's fine. Whatever. I didn't like Neo. I never got a chance to really play it that much.
I played a little bit of it. My friend, I don't remember if he bought it for me, but I bought it for myself, and then he also got it. But whatever. Whatever it is, we were playing it together. He really liked it and beat it. I didn't beat it. I got up to the Yuki Onna boss and just kind of stopped playing. I just kind of, like, didn't give a shit about the game anymore. I think I said this before, but it has a lot of reused levels. So, like, you go on your map and pick your fucking, like, stages. And if I see the same, like, boss fight in a coastline with, like, a bunch of spears everywhere, and if I see the goddamn mountain with the skeletons underneath one more fucking time, I'm gonna fucking slit my wrists. Like, you just kind of stop giving a shit. I don't know. It was all right, and I appreciate that it's a Souls-like game that had a fucking costume/transmogrification system, so I could wear what armor gives me the most stats, but then wear, like, a costume over it to still look cool.
See, that's always good. Or you do it like Dark Souls, and armor just doesn't fucking matter at all, unless you're super min-maxing.
Also, another cool thing is that there are actually other playable characters that you can use as costumes. Like, you sell all your sets and everything, but you can be, like, every NPC.
Oh, that's cool as fuck.
Not the bad guy enemies. I just mean, like, the actual NPCs you talk to. I remember there was a big patch where it's like, hey, guys, you can play as the girl NPCs now, too. Fuck it. There's just everybody. Like, there's this one, like, samurai dude who has, like, a weird bat helmet, and I played as that guy. Like, it changes your voice, too. Like, it's super cool, actually. There's a lot of cool things in Neo. I just couldn't care enough to beat it, I guess.
Remedy,
all right.
The people who made Alan Wake and Quantum Break finally got a break from Microsoft. So they got a PlayStation title called Control that, I'll be honest, Alex, I like Alan Wake. Control kind of looks boring and lame, but I mean, I'm happy for you, Remedy. I'm happy you got out from under them. Kingdom Hearts is shown off. January release date. Who cares? There was a really fucking bad-looking shovelware. Who cares about Kingdom Hearts? No one important. Justin Roiland, the Rick and Morty Pickle Rick man, showed off garbage shovelware-looking platformer, which I thought was like, a game made in Dreams. That game that they showed off a few years ago, but no, it was just just Justin Roiland making a funny voice and showing a, like, not that interesting looking platformer.
So, what I thought that game was supposed to be, like, a fake game in a game.
Yeah,
like,
it was
gonna zoom out and be, like, the actual, like, video game. But no, it was just the game. It just looked like shit.
Yeah, so I don't know why you showed that off, Sony, but okay.
Well, it's made by the Rick and Morty man.
Okay, so the last one there, From Software's game, it's called Derisine or Despacito, one of those. Now, the trailer was talking about, like, aren't you excited to be a fairy? No one can see where you are anymore. You don't have to worry about anything. It'll be great. And, like, kind of like a little disconcerting, like, voice. But what I think it is I think it's like a chibi-robo-styled game where you're a fairy, because it's a VR game. And I think what you do is you, like, go through the house because they can't see you, and I think you just, like, fix shit for them. Because, like, Chibi Robo was your little robot, you go around to clean, and you, like, you help the family out. You help them with all their issues, and they grow together and closer and all that good shit, right?
Also, you fight little spider robots, because they had to be combat in that game for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what this game is. And I'm going off of almost no info, because all it did was show a bunch of, like European, like, fluffy shirt stuff. Like, it looked like a German village in, like, I don't know, the time period. A time period before we had working toilets. And, like, at the end, they took a dead flower and turned it into a live one. So I think, I don't know. I'm going off that. It seems interesting. I like it. I think it's pretty neat. After that, they finally got, after, fuck, like, 4 or 5 years? Maybe like 3 or 4. Death Stranding finally fucking showed a bit of gameplay.
That fucking time.
They showed off some open world traversing with a variety of, like, weird payloads on your back. I'm still not 100% sure on what the gameplay is, okay, see, now here's the thing, though. It looks like, okay, I played Breath of the Wild for over 180 hours now. Most of that was just spent climbing shit and walking around. So, like, if that's what this game is, like, I'll be okay with it, because it looks like it's got a cool enough setting. But, like, Kojima, it's been a very long time. Could you maybe, like, you know, either show some more gameplay or just start working on movies? Because you have nothing to show for this so far. Like, I don't know what the fuck your plan is, but, like, you can show, like, all you. If you look at Kojima in a bubble, like me, I never gave a fuck about Metal Gear Solid. The only thing I know from Kojima is Death Stranding. And so far, every time I talk about it, it's just, yeah, it's going to be a good game because Kojima's making it.
It's
going to
be so awesome. Kojima is, like, the coolest dude ever. He can do no wrong, Tad.
See, so what... I mean, Kojima, you want to fucking show me something interesting? Oh, look, there's like a, like, look, they swallowed a caterpillar and it turns into a baby in your stomach and there's a bunch of umbilical cords and there's a guy walking on his hands, but he's invisible. Like,
so
the water turn, the rain makes you real old. Like, okay, that's cool, Kojima, but I think is this a video game or is this you jerking off over, like, making a movie? Which is it?
Okay, so, like, biggest mood. I don't like Hideo Kojima very much.
Uh-oh.
I think his method of storytelling is boring and incredibly long-winded and fucking dumb. I think he's kind of an idiot. I don't like him very much at all. And I do not like this game, like, the way it looks whatsoever. It looks like the most boring game fucking ever that's only being backed up by his name. If any other game developer showed this game off, everyone would boo it. But because it's Kojima, everyone's praising it like the second coming of Christ. Like Mr. Monkey D. Curtis, who posted a few hours ago on YouTube. Glad to know that the gaming community still has determined and creative geniuses in them. Not afraid to create something different or with the intent... He says intent, by the way, not intent. Of making the most amount of money by creating empty games available with microtransactions. This is going to be mind-blowing. Can't wait to play it. All the guy did was walk forward. All he did was walk forward in a big environment, slowly. Breath of the Wild, you can run and you have other transportation options if you're creative enough. You walk in this game. Because I don't think he's going to be sprinting with that fucking backpack. You walk very slowly through a big empty field while slightly sad music plays in the distance. And you have this fucking asshole who looks like the guy who is voiced and looks like the guy from The Walking Dead. Because, I don't know, fuck it. He just loves Hollywood so much, but he's got to use them in his games now, too. And it's like, oh shit, this is a little too boring. Wait. Suspense. Monster. 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 And it's gone. Now, walking. Walking. Wait, shit, monsters. Walking. Slowly. Walking. Slowly. Walking. Slower! Walking. Hey, I know your name. Walking. Like, it looks like the most boring and uninteresting fucking thing ever. Now, he pulled the gun out for a second, but these things already look like they can't be fucking hurt, so he's probably gonna be just shooting, like, random shit, like, other people or something.
Or shooting himself. Because remember, the first trailer, that guy tried to shoot himself, but he wasn't able to?
Yeah, the guy was, like, stabbing the shit out of himself when he was being lifted up by one of the fucking monsters. Like, it just looks... It looks like it's trying really... It looks like Dear Esther, where it's trying really, really hard to be deep and interesting, when in reality it's just some pretentious bullshit. That's what this game kind of gives me the vibe of, just walking around doing absolutely nothing. And again, it's only being backed up because it's Kojima making it. If David Cage, someone like way less interesting like David Cage made it, everyone would fucking laugh his ass off stage.
Yep, but instead, Kojima gets a pass. I mean, hey, shit, Alex, maybe the game will be good. I have absolutely no way to know this because he won't show any gameplay. You know what, yes, they did get gameplay, though? Spider-Man. That game looks sick as fuck. Oh my god, it looks like... Okay, big mood. The Amazing Spider-Man movie sucked. The Amazing Spider-Man movie game was fucking sweet. That game looks almost exactly like this game. The trailer they showed was Spider-Man. It showed some of the combat where it's less Arkham than it looked like originally. There's a lot more jumping, a lot more bouncing, a lot more web-swinging, stuff like that. As opposed to Batman's, like, punch, like, rhythm-based punch, punch, dodge, punch, that stuff. It's less like that, more normal combat there, normal Spider-Man combat. The trailer shows the Sinister Six, I think, where it's got, like, Electro and Scorpion, and they all look goofy. They still got, like, the superhero suits and shit, and it looks very fun. They showed a little bit of the roaming gameplay after the conference, but I am buying this game on day one, because I love Spider-Man.
I have nothing to say about it, because comic books are for fucking nerds.
I agree. I've never read a Cape comic book, because they're almost all bad. But, Alex, we finally made it, bros. finally made it to the final conference. Nintendo. Nintendo Bros.
Yeah, Nintendo. The most interesting in-game fucking conference they had. That had nothing but a bunch of fucking games that were really good.
It had less than seven games. It had less than seven. So, I'm going to quickly go over every game. So, there's Pokemon Let's Go, which was announced
before. Let's go to the polls!
Yeah, good meme, Alex. So this was actually a really smart idea from Nintendo, from like a monetary standpoint. It's a little bit late, but they are cashing in on Pokemon Go being so popular. And what they do with this game is they get those Pokemon Go people, and they get those fucking Gen 1ers. Who are like, oh, the only generation of Pokemon I know is Generation 1. Kakuna's my favorite Pokemon.
Who the fuck likes Kakuna?
I tried to think about Pokemon. That was the first one that came to mind.
I know, but like it's the Metapod for Beedrill, though. It's like the most uninteresting Pokemon.
It is. I actually can't think of a less interesting one. The thing about about people who play Pokemon Go is a lot of those people who enjoy the mobile game wouldn't normally give a traditional Pokemon game a shot. But when you have these aspects of throwing the Pokeballs and stuff, and then also still having normal trainer battles, and basically the entirety of the first Pokemon game, with co-op, and a Pokemon follows behind you and shit, and they can like ride on your shoulder and you can fucking ride it if it's a Rhyhorn and shit, that's rad as hell. Like, this is a really smart idea. It also, like, they're still making, like, an actual Pokemon game for next year. So then you get those people in who are interested. And then when you have the big Pokemon game, you have even more people who are going to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a more traditional Mario Party game, which confused the shit out of me. Because it's like, the commercial for it that they played was like, hey guys, we're all camping out in the woods, haha.
Game on!
Let's take our $300 Switch and our $80 fucking four pair of fucking Switch controllers and connect our Nintendo Switches as we go on our camping trip. You know, the Nintendo Switch that has a 4 to 6 hour battery life. Let's all connect this a minimum of like $700 of equipment out here into the fucking woods. And let's just play Mario Party for 3 hours before the fucking thing dies. Yeah!
Okay, this isn't a big mood, this is just a medium mood. I fucking hate all of those goddamn commercials of like 20 to 30 year old just like white people playing video games in like big public spaces and saying stupid shit like, alright, game on. it's so lame. See you on the other side. It's so lame, dude. Stop it. Just stop it.
Oh, fuck. There's another bullshit Fire Emblem, which it was called like Fire Emblem the Three Fates. So they're probably going to milk all those stupid Fire Emblem fans for three games. I feel bad for people who liked Fire Emblem for the gameplay and don't want Waifu Wars bullshit, because now Nintendo sold a fucking Fire Emblem game in three parts. Like it was like it had the fucking clout of Pokemon. And, like, people are okay with Pokemon having two different types, because that's Pokemon. It's been that way since the very first game to encourage battling and trading.
Exactly.
Fire Emblem features, like, hey, let's just split the game in half so we can make them pay an additional $40. Like, wow. Wow, Nintendo. Okay. Wow. Fire Emblem is the only Nintendo property that has a waifu gacha game. I think that speaks for itself. So that was all that shit. Fortnite was in the house tonight. All the gamers gonna play on their $300 Nintendo Switches. Dab, who gives a shit?
Oh, they're all gonna play on their Switches tonight. Available now, free to play.
Then Hollow Knight, and then Smash Bros. This was the vast majority of the thing. And there was a dude who posted on fucking 4chan the day before this, posting the every single thing that was gonna happen in the direct, and everyone called him a bland idiot.
Yeah, the thread had like five replies to it, and it was just gone. The fake leak with like the Star Fox Racing game, which didn't happen by the way, got way more traction and believability than the fucking actual reality, because reality sucks.
So the new Smash Bros. Games, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and every single character that's ever been in Smash Bros. Is back, including
all the Warriors,
the pack. Fucking, this game is looking pretty goddamn sick. They have every single character in there. There's only three new characters that we know so far. There's the Inkling that they showed off way back in the Nintendo Direct. Then there's Daisy, who's a clone of Peach. And, of course, the big man himself, Ridley.
It's the big time!
Boom! Ridley, I'm glad he's in. I really wanted Metroid to get something new. And, you know, it's fine. Like, he looks really cool. He looks fun. The game fucking comes out in December, which I did not expect. I thought it was going to be, like, early next year. I thought they would push it back. Like, because remember Brawl? I believe Smash Bros. Brawl was going to come out in, like, December. Then it got pushed back to January. Then it got pushed back to, like, fucking March. I remember this because I had my money saved to get it, and me and my brother were going to go to the midnight release. But most of the characters in the Smash Bros. Ultimate game have been changed pretty significantly. Some characters just have different moves, some of them updated stuff. There's a lot more competitive mechanics into the game. There's air dodging, there's short hops, things like that. Shortcutting ways to do, like, tech stuff to make it, like, more an intentional part of the game. Link uses his Breath of the Wild design. He shoots two arrows when he shoots his bow and arrow thing.
Yeah, because he has one of those Yiga bows that fires two arrows for the cost of one.
Yep. If he has 0% damage, he shoots a beam out of his sword. He has remote bombs, so he could throw them and then detonate them. And he has no more hook shot on his grab. Now he just grabs you like normal. Samus is able to charge herself in the air. Ganondorf got a real big overhaul. He looks like the N64 Ganondorf. He's finally got true armor on Warlock Punch, and he fucking finally uses a goddamn sword. After, God, when did Melee come out? Like 20 years ago? Maybe not 20. Like fucking 15 years ago, Melee came out or some shit, and he finally has a sword for his bullshit. Zelda uses the Link Between Worlds art style instead of the Twilight Princess, which is really nice. I think they changed that because Ganondorf no longer uses Twilight Princess either.
And, it's gonna be a shame though, because I actually really, 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 really like Twilight Princess Ganon, but I'm okay with this new design. Well, this old design.
I'm pretty confident they'll sell like costume packs in the future as DLC. They said at the end of the conference, he said like, "Hey, I hope you guys aren't expecting too many new characters." Ha ha. Also, here's Ridley. He said that same shit with Brawl. He said the same thing with Smash 4. I expect minimum. So far, there's three new characters. I expect a minimum of six. There's going to be like, and then this isn't even including DLC, because there's going to be like one or two DLC characters as well. I mean, come on.
Springman's in. Like, we already know he's in, but come on, Popeye.
Bomberman did get in too. He got in as assist trophy, which I'm a little disappointed he's not playable, but you know what? That's fine. Bomberman is assist trophy. He gets to do his main thing. I'm positive that when they got the rights to use him from Konami, they're like, can we make him a full character? Nah. And they probably could have. You could have given him different types of bombs, but I don't actually know if that's like a core part of Bomberman's gameplay. If there's like different types of bombs, except for like the fucking N64 one.
There are a couple, but they're not that different. Because Bomberman's gameplay is really, really fucking simple.
Yeah, it's not as iconic as just bombs that hit each other and explode. So, you know, as this is trophy, it's fine. I get it. He's cool. Whatever. It's good. Now, I'm going to get kind of turbotistic here about Game & Watch. So Game & Watch got updated, and now his animations are more directly from the Game & Watch games, which I really don't like. So when you're playing Game & Watch and you do his side B, he holds his hand up, and then beep, bam, and then just puts his hand down, and it's got like the iron thing. Now when you do it, his model changes to look like that Game & Watch game. And I don't really like that, because so before he felt like a singular character, he looked like Mr. Game & Watch that just used the different moves. Now he looks like a bunch of different sprites that just flop in. He looks like a fucking, he doesn't look like a singular character anymore.
He looks like Double from Skullgirls.
Kind of. Where it's just, and this is really fucking lame and dumb to say, but he loses his identity as Mr. Game & Watch by completely changing his sprite when he does all these different attacks, because he's no longer the dude with the big nose doing them as like a reference to these. They just took it from the games, and I don't like it. It's kind of like Duck Hunt, Or Duck Hunt's Down B just has the thing pop out from the game, so... Yeah. That's the only thing I'm not liking about this one. I'm very, very happy that Pac-Man is back. Pac-back is Mac-back. What was it, Alex? The pack is something.
You said it before. The pack is back! Time to pack it in!
There it is, pack it in. And I guess with that, it's also time to pack it up. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about with E3 here, Alex?
Nothing in particular, really. I like the Bethesda thing. I hate Death Stranding. Smash Bros. Looks pretty good. I'm glad everyone is back. All the warriors. Like, Wolf's back. Fucking Snake is back. Which Pichu? I didn't think he was gonna, like... Yeah, bro, it's Pichu's back! Nobody gives a shit about Pichu, Tad.
Literally no one. No one played Pichu.
Also, I know Ice one Climbers person. Back, and I know a lot of people actually like Ice Climbers, so that one's okay.
Yeah, I know one person on the planet, at least one, who liked Ice Climbers, unironically. And not because they were, like, top tier.
So, like, yeah, it's looking pretty solid. Like you, I don't expect three more. I expect just two, and I'm totally basing it off of that one guy who said, look, there's two empty slots on this, like, character thing.
Oh, shut up with that. That is the dumbest reasoning. I hate that shit, Alex.
I believe, Tad.
No amount of baby Jiren talk is going to change my mind.
Springman is in, bros.
Springman and Rayman. Bye-bye. And Popeye's obvious. I'm talking about the DLC characters. So the last two, Alex, are Popeye and Goku. And then after that, we've got Sans Undertale and fucking...
He's in.
Who's the... Besides Sans, who is the worst possible character to put in this game, Alex?
I really can't think of a person worse than Sans. The amount of fucking butthurt. Okay, the only other person who could be worse is the fucking guy from the cover of Skyrim. Skyrim man. Mr. Skyrim. The Novocaine.
Mr. Skyrim. Oh, fuck. Yeah, this year's E3 was pretty fun. Square, you really fucked it up. A lot of good games shown off. A lot of them come out in 2018. So 2018's gonna have some pretty good shit. And, yeah. I'm looking forward to next year where we get to see more Pokemon, or Metroid Prime 4, stuff we didn't get to see now. And, yeah. So, you guys can follow the show on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play. You can find links to all those on the website, which is www.lmtya.com or letmetellyouabout.moe. You can also find us on Twitter, at letmetellyupd. There's a Discord in the description, a Patreon in the description, and Sans... If there's a loving God in this world, we'll never be in Smash.
Joke's on you, Tad. We're still living those Old Testament times. God doesn't love us. Sans is in Smash.